Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number is 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Before we get to our main news report of the day, I want to do a quick creation update. Answers in Genesis, they're calling attention to this evolutionist belief that birds evolved from dinosaurs, and they point out, of course, well, for one, it's not true. Dinosaurs are land animals, right? Land animals were created on the day after birds were created, Genesis chapter 1. So there's no way that birds evolved from dinosaurs because birds came before dinosaurs and other land animals. So creationists take the theory that dinosaurs evolved into birds, and we like to poke holes in it. And so one of the guys we like to quote is a professor of biology from North Carolina. He's Alan Fiducia, professor of biology at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. And he has published in Science Magazine and GeoTimes, and he likes to point out things like, well, the dinosaurs supposedly evolved into birds, except that these allegedly bird-like dinosaurs are supposedly 25 to 80 million years, their fossils, after the birds that they're supposed to have evolved into. So you look in the fossil record, and of course, while their timing of millions of years is wrong, the dinosaur fossils that supposedly were the bird-like dinosaurs that evolved into birds, they're about 50 million years too late, because we have true bird fossils that are 25 to 80 million years older in the fossil record than the dinosaurs. So he says it can't happen. The dinosaurs can't evolve into birds if the bird fossils were around 50 million years before the dinosaur, bird-like dinosaurs. And there's another argument that he's been making, and it's this. When you look at dinosaurs, they only have three digits on their hands, and birds have three digits too. So evolutionists say, well, look, dinosaurs have three digits, birds have three digits. See, dinosaurs evolved into birds. Now, that's how they present it to kiddies in the public schools and to college students. Well, closer investigation has shown that dinosaurs have three digits. Yes, they have a thumb and the second and third fingers. So dinosaurs, on their a dinosaur hand, they have digits number 1, 2, and 3, a thumb and then digits 2 and 3. Birds don't have the thumb. They have digits 2, 3, and 4. And so that is evidence. In fact, Dr. Fiducia of University of North Carolina says this creates another problem for those who insist that dinosaurs were ancestors of modern birds. How can a bird hand, for example, with digits 2, 3, and 4, evolve from a dinosaur hand that has only digits 1, 2, and 3? That would be virtually impossible. So it's just another example of where the story of the Bible can be corroborated by the details of science. Okay, now to the big news story of the day. I'm going to my guest in studio, Joe Scott. Welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Thanks, Bob.
Joe, you and your husband, Ken Scott, you guys are two of the neatest pro-life leaders we have here in Colorado. People know you all over the country. It's an honor to have you in studio. But I want to know about Nikki. You remember Nikki?
Yeah, I do.
Nikki from October 2005. In fact, we have a clip we're going to play in a moment where she was going to have an abortion.
That's right.
You remember which abortion clinic?
Mayfair in Aurora.
In Aurora, Colorado. and her sister-in-law was there, and her sister-in-law was trying to talk her out of it.
On the way to the abortion clinic, she did, yes.
On the way to the abortion clinic.
Uh-huh.
And while they were in the abortion clinic, Nikki decided to save her baby.
That's right.
And that's developed into quite a story now, right?
Yes, it has.
Give us sort of an overview, and then we're going to hear from the sister-in-law telling the story in our flashback in a moment. But give us an overview. What happened?
Well, Nikki told her sister-in-law on the way to the abortion clinic what she was going to do. And her sister-in-law rightly talked her out of doing it, or at least tried. Nikki went in to talk to the abortionist, and they had her get undressed. And by the time she was undressed and on the table, she had changed her mind and wanted to get up. And
in other words, she's scheduled for an abortion. She's going, but her sister-in-law is doing everything she could to talk her out of it.
Right.
And she's in the throes of this decision. And she gets there because that's where they were headed. And they say, okay, go in here, disrobe, whatever. And she's doing what they're telling her, but she sort of doesn't want to do the abortion.
Right. And you have to remember, she's 16 and very emotional at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And she did not want to do it. But the day before, she had had laminaria put in.
Now, that is part of a procedure, a multi-day abortion procedure, where they widen the cervix so that they could do the abortion.
That's right.
And so that begins that process. That's not the abortion itself.
No, it's just a piece of seaweed that's implanted into the cervix.
And
so
it expands.
There. Right.
It absorbs moisture, expands. And we have had women who've changed their minds countless times. We bring them to a pro-life OBGYN and they remove the laminaria.
And, that's right, without a problem.
No, no problem. And everything is wonderful.
Right.
Yeah.
So when the sister-in-law realized that Nikki was not going to be allowed out of the room, she very quickly thought to call any pro-life place she could find. And she was just leafleting through the
phone book.
Yeah.
She was trying to get help because she wanted to get her sister-in-law out, and they weren't letting her out.
Right. And so she called Colorado Right to Life.
She asked the abortion clinic, could I look at your phone book?
Yeah.
She looks up under A, abortion, and abortion alternatives, Colorado Right to Life.
Right.
She finds Colorado Right to Life.
That's right. Calls, and the secretary there, Linda Brake, answers the phone. Linda then, realizing what's going on as she's talking to the sister-in-law, calls me and says, Joe, what do I tell her? And I said,
sure.
Tell her, get out. Get out now.
Yeah.
Well, then Linda hang up and she talked to the sister-in-law, and then she'd call me back. But they said she's going to die if they
right.
take that laminaria out. And I'd
right.
say, no, that's a lie. Don't let her believe that.
And Linda's calling you because you've been at the doors of an abortion clinic 5 days a week for how many years now?
27.
27 years worked. The Lord helped you to save hundreds of babies, unborn babies. And so you've been there. You know the ropes. So then maybe we should take up the story with the sister-in-law.
Right.
Because we interviewed her a day or two later. So let's go back now and let's hear from the sister-in-law.
Right.
Went knocking on the windows and doors and said, I need to speak with my sister-in-law. It's an emergency. They would not let me talk to her. They told me under no circumstances could I go back there, and that because she was undressed from the waist down, she could not come out. I said, have her put on her clothes. They still would not let me go back, and because I didn't want to give them alert of what I was doing,
right.
I told them that a family member had gotten an accident.
Oh.
And
very wise,
by the way. At that point, they had let me back. They led me back by my hand, almost literally holding my hand, let me into the room. I had asked the nurse to please leave because she was trying to sit and hear what I was saying to her. At that point, I had told that we would have it taken out. There was another doctor that was willing to take it out, and that we needed to get to a different clinic.
To a doctor who's not an abortionist.
Yes.
Pro-life doctor, yeah.
Yes. And at that point, she started to put her pants back on and told them she had to leave. I went back out into the waiting room, because I had my children out there with one of the nurses,
mm-hmm.
and they came back. I heard arguing on the other side of the door, and the lady opened the door, the lady doctor, and the gentleman doctor opened the door and said that Nikki could not leave because she would be suicidal if she did, that laminaria would kill her.
Oh, brother.
Yes, and if we tried to take her out of there, they would call the police and put a 72-hour hold on her by stating she was suicidal.
And it wasn't someone yelling in the background, call the police, call the police?
Yes. At that point, I tried to grab Nikki's hand and pull her out of there, and a male doctor restrained her back against the wall while the female doctor was yelling, call Aurora police.
Was this Kuzowski, the abortionist who's down there, Joe? Do you know?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
But
we'll find out.
Yeah.
So do you know, Lisa?
I'm not sure if that's his name for sure.
Okay. Now let's go. We didn't tell the audience yet because this is a very painful and difficult story. But in the studio, we have your sister-in-law, Nikki. Nikki, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for changing your mind and listening to your sister-in-law's wisdom. And to Joe Scott on the phone and Linda Brake at Colorado Right to Life, could you tell me what happened right at that point when your sister-in-law is so desperately trying to get you out of there?
When she was trying to pull me out, she was telling them over and over that we had to go, my brother's in trouble, and the Dr. Kuzowski, he was the one that was actually holding me back.
So it was actually the abortionist
who
was trying to physically restrain you from leaving.
Yes.
Which is something that we think is criminal.
Yeah, that's pretty much kidnapping. And
yeah, you have the right, unlawful incarceration. You have the right to refuse medical treatment, to leave. Did you do anything to make it seem like you were suicidal? Did you try to kill yourself?
No, not at all. And I don't see where they would try and say that I was, because I actually made the decision of keeping my baby.
Had you told them, it sounded like from the story that you had told them you wanted to go to another clinic to get to remove the laminaria.
We told them that we would be able to go to another doctor, but they were still refusing to let me go. And even after my sister-in-law was telling me that we could go to another doctor, they were still refusing to let me go. They were just holding me back, and literally, all the nurses and all the doctors back there were holding me in there because they would not let Lisa take me with them.
This is extraordinary.
I know. It's unbelievable.
Now, could they told you that the baby would be deformed? Who told you
that? Yeah. A woman doctor, I don't know her name exactly. She was actually, she got mad because one of the assistant nurses there, she had said, well, that's two in one day. And she just flipped out saying, well, you know your baby's going to come out retarded and you're not going to have a normal pregnancy, you might have a miscarriage. And she just got so mad because it just seemed to her it was just all about the money.
So that's two in one day? What did she mean by that?
Like two people that decided not to get the abortion.
Wow.
That same nurse that had said that as well, I had asked out in the waiting room because she was admiring my son and my daughter. She had said, I had asked her out in the waiting room, is it uncommon for people to change their minds? And she said that she couldn't give me too many details because it could get her fired or say anything in front of Dominique. But she would shake her head yes and no to questions. And when I asked her, does she have a chance for a normal pregnancy, the nurse shook her head yes. But she said that she couldn't verbally say anything because she would lose her job.
Wow. Joe Scott, what do you make of that?
Okay, now we're back in the studio, back to April 3rd, 2006. And Joe Scott, what do you make of that, of this nurse, this woman working in the abortion clinic, she's afraid to talk?
It's not the first time I've heard a nurse being afraid to talk or say that she's afraid to talk. A lot of the nurses that work in those places are not the best paid, and they're afraid to lose their jobs. So
yeah, and they know that it's not giving the girl all the information she needs to make the decision that's her choice. They intuitively know that's not what it's about. It's about trying to get these girls through to have the abortion.
Right.
So even the facade is a lie.
We have undercover tapes from Planned Parenthood meetings and big abortion, not just them, other abortionists talking about abortion is a business. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a medical procedure, but I remember a quote, one of the speakers said, but let's face it, this is a business.
Right, right. That's right. Like Planned Parenthood doesn't take checks, for example.
Right.
What kind of a medical service doesn't take checks? I don't know. But Planned Parenthood doesn't. They kill kids, but they don't take checks. So, Joe, they prefer cash.
Right.
They'll take a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't trust the women. These women are there and they're killing a child.
Well, there's no follow-up procedure. There's no reason why after the abortion they would go back there.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no extra contact that they could pester them
about. It's not actual medical care. It's
right.
just killing a child for money.
Right.
That's what Planned Parenthood is. Well, now this Nikki, that was back in October.
That's right.
So her due date
is 2 days from now, April 5th.
April 5th. And so that, for one, it's very exciting.
Yes.
And I know that you have helped Nikki arrange for what she's going to do after the baby is born. And we'll talk about that in a moment. A wonderful opportunity she has up in Estes Park to begin to get her life stabilized. But there's a need in the immediate future, the next few days. Let's talk about that. Nikki's 16 years old.
Yes, she is.
She's 9 months pregnant. She's due on Wednesday.
Right.
And she has no place to stay.
That's right.
Literally.
Literally. I've got a phone call from her, and she said, I'm desperate. I need to find a place to stay.
Now, we have up in Estes Park. Tell us about that before we get back to Nikki's situation.
Oh, in Estes Park, there's a program for mothers after they have their children, or even expectant mothers. The reason Nikki can't go there now is that she's going to deliver in a hospital in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way to get her from Estes Park to Denver.
When
she goes into labor.
So she has a place up there. And what is it like, that place?
It's a ranch, and it's a place that has rules and discipline and life skills that they teach the girls. And it's just a really neat couple that run the place.
And there's so many ministries like this around the country, not only crisis pregnancy centers, but homes for unwed mothers.
Right.
And in fact, when you add them up, how many ministries are there that pro-life Christians run? It's in the thousands.
Yes.
There are thousands of ministries like this.
Right. And they're wonderful places for young girls with kind of scattered lives to pull themselves together, learn life skills, and become good parents and be successful. They're not required to work mm-hmm. outside, so they don't have that pressure.
Mm-hmm. So Nikki will be going there after the baby's born.
Yes.
But we need a place for her to stay in the Denver area just over the next few days or so, a week or so. And obviously we're not asking for a stranger in the audience to call in, but there are many people who are friends of Bob and Yurt Live that know you and your husband Ken, that know us, know Denver Bible Church. So this is an immediate need that cropped up today. And so we thought we would use this broadcast as an opportunity to say, if there's somebody out there who we know of, not a stranger, but if there are people that are familiar, that know Bob and Yurt Live, more importantly, that we know you, and you would be able to share a bedroom with Nikki, 16 years old, ready to give birth, we really need your help. We really need you to call.
Right, and that you could be home with her would make me feel better. She's 16 and she's going into labor, and she doesn't have an idea of what's going to happen to her.
What's going to happen to her. And not only that, of course, no men need apply.
Right.
No single men. If it's a family, a husband and a wife, as long as the husband's not going to be there alone with her.
Right.
Obviously, we want a mom, a grandma, somebody who could spend a few days. This is where ministry really, where the rubber meets the road.
Mm-hmm.
This is hardcore. You know, liberals are into saving the whales, and the whales never end up drunk on your doorstep at 2 a.m. on a Sunday morning.
That's right.
It's a real convenient cause to save the whales. But human beings are a different story, and Nikki is a young girl who's had a difficult life. Obviously, she's in a very difficult situation, but she made that decision not to kill her baby, thanks in large part to her sister-in-law,
right,
who we owe a great debt of gratitude toward. And so I'm going to give out our phone number, and if there's somebody out there now, you could call in on the air if you want, but you don't have to talk on the air, but we need your help. So please write down this phone number. The number is 800-8-NYART, and I'll spell that out for you. Well, it's 800-8-NYART, 8-E-N-Y-A-R-T, but I'll give you the numbers too, 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-836-9278. So that's the big need.
Yes, it is. And it is a big need. Mm-hmm. I mean, she has a place. She had a place to stay last night. Mm-hmm. I don't know about tonight. Mm-hmm. I haven't been able to contact her in the last few hours.
Right. And people in the audience might be thinking, well, how about Joe Scott? How about Bob Enyart? And that's a good question. How about us? Can we do it? Can you do it? People who are full-time in ministry have full-time demands on their time and resources.
That's right.
And our lives tend to be molded in such a way that sometimes it's virtually impossible to give another thing.
Well, right now,
there's no place left.
That's right.
There's no money left. There's no time left.
Right.
And so we've thought through it. My family can't do it. Ken and Joe can't do it. We need help from a Christian out there.
That's right. We do. And one of the reasons that I can't do it right now is I have another mother just entering into labor right now, and I've got to be with her while she's delivering her baby.
And when you say you have another mom, that's because being at the abortion clinic 5 days a week when they're killing babies, Christians are there. We have a handful of people from Denver Bible Church, you and your husband, others who are there week in and week out, month in, year out. And last year, there were how many babies saved? Just at Planned Parenthood?
104.
104 babies saved, confirmed saves. And so many times you end up friends with the moms.
Lots of times you end up friends with the moms. And
yeah.
Today, this particular time with the bus strike, mm-hmm. a lot of the moms are in homes. And with no buses, I'm running moms back and forth.
Right. And we need to get them to become Christians, and many of the moms do get saved.
Yes, they do.
Oh, and by the way, there's a fabulous lawsuit going right now. All right, say again. So we've got somebody. We might have a mom here, Bonnie, who might
Bonnie.
Be able to help.
Okay.
And so that's a real possibility. Thank you, Bonnie. We'll call you after the show. But if there's somebody else who says, well, maybe me too, you call in as a backup just in case it doesn't work, all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Joe, the lawsuit. Ronald Reagan appointed Mike Norton to be U.S. attorney in Colorado.
That's right.
And Mike Norton, he's a great lawyer, powerful in the federal courts. Boy, is he good. And his wife is Jay Norton, lieutenant governor of Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Norton took Nikki's case.
Yes, he did.
So what's happening? They're suing the clinic?
They're suing the clinic. And it's just in the beginning stages. I don't have a lot of information about it, but they are going to sue the clinic because of all the horrible things that were done to Nikki, to tell her, to force her to take medical attention that she didn't want from them because they insisted on removing the laminaria.
And she didn't want it. They had another pro-life doctor. She was afraid of that doctor
right.
by then.
Right. She was very afraid of
it. So they forced a medical procedure on her where she didn't want it.
They held her against the wall physically, wouldn't let her leave. They threatened her. They threatened her with a 72-hour hold for mental illness, for suicidal watch.
They said they were going to call the police on her because she was suicidal, which was not true.
Right. And they gave her medication, didn't tell her what it was, and made her take it.
Right. And how about the advice they gave her?
It was terrible medical advice. You can't lose your child just because they take the laminaria out. I mean, it's a possibility, but so is the sky falling.
Yeah, right. So they said that your baby will be deformed or die if you have this laminaria
removed.
Or
they also said she could die.
She could die. And so this was all manipulating her, lying, using medical advice as a way to manipulate a young girl.
Not only that, but when they were saying call the police, that's intimidation. That's why she didn't leave, because she was afraid that mm-hmm. they would call the police on her, and she didn't know what would happen to her. So she allowed them to work on her.
All right. So the sister-in-law was the hero.
Yes.
And Linda Brake at Colorado Right to Life, and you, Joe Scott, out on the street, ready with your cell phone, and you guys teamed up and saved this little baby who's to be born on Wednesday.
Right.
So it's exciting. Joe, you want to hang around? We'll finish the show?
Sure, Bob.
Okay, we'll go to a break. We'll be back right after this.
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
This is Bob Inyart inviting you to read our manuscript, The Plot, for an overview of the whole Bible. Call us at 800-836-9278. That's 836-9278. You're listening to Bob Inyart Live, and in studio we have Joe Scott of Ken and Joe Scott fame. Joe, thank you so much for joining me again in studio. It's great.
You're welcome, Bob.
I thought we should let the Iowa audience know a little bit more of what we're like.
Are you sure?
No. But why don't we try it? I thought we could reminisce a bit about some of the things that the Denver pro-life Christian community has done in the last few years. And so we'll come up with, you know, what have we been up to?
I have a story for you.
All right.
A year ago when we picketed St. John's Episcopal Church on Palm Sunday, you remember that?
I sure do. Yep.
We have picketed there every year for 10 years.
Whoa.
On Palm Sunday.
So a few from Denver Bible Church went to St. John's Episcopal Church.
Right.
Like every year, Palm Sunday, Easter Sunday.
My husband Ken has right. led the protest for 10 years.
Now, a lot of Christians will say it's horrendous to go protest the church.
Right.
On Sunday morning, especially Easter morning, Resurrection Sunday. But this church is against the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
They don't even believe it.
They're pro-homosexual, pro-abortion. People going there are not even saved. It's like in the Bible. The prophets, the apostles went to the synagogues, went to the town square, and called out to the people to trust in God, repent.
That's right. So this was Palm Sunday last year. And we have been going, like I said, for 10 years. And at St. John's, they have what they call a solemn procession. That's not what we call it, but that's no. And it leaves the church.
They march
building.
Around the block, sort of.
Well,
in
usually
in front of the church.
Usually, it's on their own. Every year before last year, it's on their own property.
On their property through their lawn,
right?
With their robes and all.
That's right.
Look like priest, right? Episcopal.
Right. Real pious.
Yeah.
And anyway, last year they got a parade permit for the sidewalk in front of the church where we normally protest
because they don't want you guys on the. On the sidewalk.
Right.
Disturbing their solemn procession. Now, nobody would ever get saved from that church when you guys go there, right?
Wrong.
Wrong?
Wrong.
You mean people actually get saved at St. John's Episcopal?
Yes.
Well, when you're there, who's the one guy who – I've met him, the guy
Steve.
Who became a Christian.
Steve. Yeah.
Steve used to go to St. John's.
Mm-hmm.
You guys were there. He saw the abortion pictures. Your husband preached the gospel to him. He got saved.
That's right.
And he's been coming. He's now a pro-life Christian activist.
Right. He protests with us now.
He's such a neat guy.
He's a neat guy.
Yeah.
But that's not the first time. It won't definitely will not be the last time. But last year, they thought they had us. They thought that
they got a parade permit.
Yeah, they had the parade permit. We had to be across the street. Our signs wouldn't be as visible. We wouldn't be able to talk to as many people.
Right.
They were happy. Well, the police showed me the parade permit, and I said, no, don't do this to me. And they said, what are you talking about? Don't do that. I said, please let us go on the sidewalk, on the side of the sidewalk. No, you can't. You have to be across. I said, oh, you don't understand. And one of the policemen said, Joe, what are you talking about?
What do you mean, don't do this to me? It's yeah. just a parade permit.
I said, Ken is going to stand on top of my car. And he goes, oh, that's right. They yeah. know us so well.
Yeah, they know Ken. And so Ken's not going to go across the street if he doesn't have to. So he stood on your car.
Right. He stood on the very top of our van.
And then they had their parade about 3 feet from
Ken. Yeah, closer to us than they've ever had. We stood on right. top of Cliff's car, so I don't feel so bad about standing on his car. But my car
yeah, right.
it was getting trounced.
So that ended up with a lawsuit that's still in court, right?
Right.
A year
right,
later,
right.
and it's a big lawsuit.
It is a big lawsuit.
Yeah, and your husband's having a great time with it.
Oh, my goodness. He's yeah. having a wonderful time. He's been witnessing to that judge
yeah.
every weekly.
And they monitor this program, and when you or Ken say something, that ends its way in some kind of a court filing.
Right.
But all for the better.
Right. right. The more they hear the gospel, the better.
The prophets, the apostles, Jesus, they were in court.
Right.
And you guys are just there on a public street sharing the gospel with a church that is anti-Christian.
That's right.
So good for you for doing all that.
One day recently, the lawyer for St. John said to the judge, Judge, these people are literalists.
Yeah, they're
literalists. It's like everyone was shocked. Oh, my goodness. They believe the Bible.
They believe the Bible. Right. So anyway, St. John's Episcopal Church, they're beside themselves and,
right.
selves, and that's a good place for them to be, I guess.
Yes.
They don't know what to do with Ken, especially your husband, or you or any of us. I
None.
Mean, my mother was there. Of
that's
all people.
Right. That's right.
So they're doing real well, the pro-lifers in Denver and getting people saved. Now, let mm-hmm. me tell one. Let me tell a story.
Okay.
All right. We were going to the home of an abortionist. You know the guy who does most of the killing at Planned Parenthood?
What's O'Loughlin.
His name? O'Loughlin. Edward yeah. Patrick O'Loughlin. And he lives in a beautiful neighborhood. So we've been going to protest at his home on holidays, Christmas morning, Easter morning, Resurrection Sunday,
Fourth.
July 4th, mm-hmm. Labor Day, Thanksgiving. It's a lot of work to get people out.
Every year.
Every year. His wife has said it's been years, 12, 15 years they've been coming to their home on holidays. We call it our abortionist holiday home visit.
Yeah, she said that in court under oath.
Yeah.
I remember.
And, you know, Christians should visit people on the holidays.
That's right.
Shut-ins, people who don't get to church
yeah.
for whatever reason. So we go there, and it's not really to get him to stop doing abortions because it'd be counterproductive because he would keep doing it just to spite us.
That's right.
If he had no other reason. But he's become a millionaire killing unborn babies. Takes about 5 minutes. He gets hundreds of dollars for each mm-hmm. baby he kills. But we do it to discourage young med students from getting into the abortion business.
And Bob, one of the things that I like so well is whenever the media comes out there and takes pictures of, they find the wild, most wild
right.
pictures they can possibly find of
right.
us. The worst. I've never had a good picture in the newspaper, but these are the worst.
Yeah.
And if you want to run off med students, what better way?
Yeah, they say these are domestic terrorists, and we're out there praying, singing hymns. You know, we are asking him stop killing kids. But anyway, they call us domestic terrorists or whatever. And the New York Times has printed this. It's been on PBS all over the country that they can't get doctors to become abortionists because they're
right.
afraid that there'll be protests on their home Christmas morning.
Right.
And so
it works.
Yeah, it does work.
So
well,
why
anyway,
not do it?
We were there for a Labor Day protest, abortionist home visit, and we had a lot of people that day. I bet you 50 people.
Yeah.
We had a barbecue, right?
Yes.
We're going to be there. It's Labor Day. Might as well have a barbecue.
And frisbees.
Frisbees. The kids were doing foot races.
That's right.
We actually had a barbecue with an actual barbecue grill. You know how they have handles and
uh-huh.
wheels? We're cooking hot dogs, sausage, cheeseburgers.
And rolling it. I remember Doug doing that, rolling it around the cul-de-sac.
Because she can't stand still protest. She got to move. And so Doug's walking around the cul-de-sac, Doug McBurney. We're having our barbecue, and we've got from the Broncos Stadium. You know, Broncos Stadium, that you wear those things that they sell the beer and the get your cold beer here, whatever.
Popcorn and all that.
Yeah, so we had those actually literally from the Broncos Stadium.
Oh, you got them there.
Yeah, we were. That's where we had people got their drinks and their chips and all. And so O'Loughlin, Edward O'Loughlin, the Planned Parenthood abortionist, his neighbor, a woman, was angry. And she came down that cul-de-sac and she sped up and veered toward the protesters, including I was pushing Zachary, who was young, in a stroller.
In a stroller, I remember.
And it was so scary, I yanked the stroller out of the way up against a parked car, slammed my son in the stroller against a parked car, and about a half a dozen of us sort of dove over
out
toward that car, out of the way. She sped up and rammed right by us into her driveway.
Yeah.
And then went in her garage. And so that was scary, and we immediately called 911. The police came, Arapahoe County Sheriff's Department. They never believe the pro-lifers, never.
That's true.
Don't even talk to us. We call
and they
to
go
report
to the
a
other
crime.
Guys.
They go to the criminal.
Right.
Always, 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 always. They never talked to us. So anyway, they went in, talked to her. They came out, talked to us, and they said, well, her story is identical to your story. In other words, she admitted she was so angry, she tried to scare us with her car. So they said, we're going to charge her with vehicular threatening.
Right.
Which we almost fell over.
That never happens.
No, because it's open season on pro-life.
We call the police. We leave in handcuffs.
Yeah, right. That's what happens. Yeah, right. So anyway, so the sheriff's deputies, we're so thankful, they charged her rightly with endangering, you know, children even with her car. So the next day – that was a Saturday, I think. The next weekday, probably Monday.
Yeah.
The sheriff of Arapahoe County called a press conference. He issued a press release, and he dropped the charges against her.
I can remember when that happened. My mouth was just dropped to the ground. I couldn't publicly do that. I mean, he wasn't there. No, he was not.
He wasn't there. She admitted to what she had done. But the victims, the targets were pro-lifers, Christian pro-lifers, and it's open season on pro-lifers. So why should she get a ticket?
And why shouldn't we know that? Why should we be stupid enough to call the police?
Yeah. So anyway, so what are we going to do, right? We don't have any authority or power.
None.
So we decided to hold court.
That was so cool, Bob.
We held our own court in the cul-de-sac the next Saturday.
That's right.
And we tried ourselves. We charged ourselves with incompetent protest.
Right.
And we found ourselves guilty and sentenced ourselves to 100 hours of community service, learning how to become better protesters
in that cul-de-sac. It was so funny. But you know what was the greatest thing, Bob, is we knew we would get no media coverage.
No.
So we raised the money and we bought the space in the newspaper.
Right.
And then that was so cool.
Right. Now, there's so many things that happen. It's hard to remember them all. But yeah, we charged ourselves. We found ourselves guilty. We reported publicly here, you know, we're going to do 100 hours of community service in this cul-de-sac, learning how to be better protesters.
Those people thought we were nuts to start with.
Oh, yeah.
You
right.
know, in the beginning.
I think we were.
But they were by the time we left.
Yeah, because we used to go there 8 times a year.
Right.
But 100 hours of community service, we would go every Saturday for two years. Every Saturday for an hour. And it almost turned the neighborhood into a war zone.
It did.
It was insane. And because, you know, we go and we know the law. We're Christians. We're fighting against people who are killing children, including the neighbors.
Uh-huh.
A handful of neighbors give us thumbs up, thank us, but the vast majority hate our guts.
That's right.
Right. And they're strongly supportive of child killing.
And of the abortionist himself.
Yeah, of the abortionist in their neighborhood.
Right.
So anyway, we're in there every week, and pretty soon there's a counter-protest that develops. Then the lesbians come out, and the feminists, and then the Wiccans, the witches.
That's right.
And then the, the aberrant Catholic priest who wears his...
We had tree huggers there.
Unbelievable. It is a zoo.
Right.
So the county commissioners get involved, and they're going to pass a law, which they did. And the law said that you can only hold a sign that's 1.5 square feet.
In the neighborhood.
In the neighborhood. And you have to keep moving, and you have to go at least 666 feet.
Feet. Isn't that funny?
Before you come back.
Now, yeah.
Now, they actually said 660 feet.
We added the six.
We added the last six just for good measure.
Yeah.
Make sure we didn't violate the law.
Keep it accurate.
Yeah. It's like 39 lashes. So anyway, they passed this law that you could only have a sign of 1.5 feet square. That doesn't mean 1.5 feet on each side.
No, that's square.
Yeah.
That's the square inch of it.
Right. That would be 2.25 square feet.
Right.
This has to be 1.5 feet square. So the sheriff's deputies can't figure out what 1.5 feet square sign, how big it'd be anyway. And then we have guys creating
octagons.
Ovals, octagons.
That was funny. They didn't know how to measure.
Yeah, they get their trigonometry out there. They don't know. But anyway.
I offered if they would pay me $5, I'd do it for them.
Okay. But anyway, here's what we did. The first Saturday with the new law. The media's out, the TV stations, you know, NBC affiliates and Rocky Mountain News, everybody's out there. And we get a sign that is about 150 feet long.
That's right.
It's the most stunning sign we've ever had, and they couldn't arrest
that
us.
That was so cool.
They couldn't arrest us because everyone had a sign, and their sign was one letter.
That's right, and everyone wore a black shirt.
B-O- The sign spelled out, we stand 15 feet apart or so, the sign spelled out, abortion kills kids. It goes for a block and the TV cameras pan the whole sign.
Yeah.
And it's powerful. So we found ourselves guilty of incompetent protesting and we learned how to be better protesters.
Yes, we did.
And the goal is, now many Christians, ones who criticize us the most are Christians.
Yes.
They say this is so unchristlike. I mean, Jesus would never stand outside of a building and rebuke people inside for being wicked.
Never,
no,
ever.
He would never do that.
No, he'd go inside and tip the tables over.
Yeah, right. So anyway, and this is an issue where they're killing kids. And so normal politeness, it's a different matter. You know, if you disagree on what color drapes to have in a church, then obviously you got to be a way different level of polite than if there are people who are killing kids.
That's right.
So you go protest at their house and they don't like it.
And neither do their neighbors.
No, their neighbors hate it. And we tell them, you will not have child killing with tranquility in our neighborhood.
That's right.
Not when we're around. You're not going to have child killing with tranquility. You're going to kill kids and get away with it legally. You're going to be miserable legally. You're going to be miserable legally, we're going to exercise our rights to make you miserable. And if any med student thinks he's going to start killing kids, they're going to be wacko showing up at his home Thanksgiving.
Christmas morning.
Christmas morning. New Year's Day. Easter. Resurrection Sunday.
4th of July picnics. We're there.
Memorial Day. Labor Day. And it's scary to pro-aborts.
Yeah.
I don't blame them. Some of the people that go to our protest, I wouldn't hang out with them.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I'm sort of kidding.
Iowa doesn't know me.
But anyway, and so the media tries to inflame everything and make it sound way worse than it is.
Which works to our benefit in the long run, the baby's benefit in the long run.
Right, that's right. Because there are people thinking, oh man, I am not going to become an abortionist. I'll be a dermatologist. Because there's never a protest of dermatologists.
That's right.
There never is.
And then no lawsuits, no extra legal fees because you have these wackos hanging out on your doorstep that won't leave.
All right. So that's a couple stories. What else? What else could we tell our Iowa audience, brand new audience?
We could tell them what happened after Palm Sunday with that wacko reporter that wrote the story.
The homosexual columnist in the Denver Post.
Right.
You guys were protesting at St. John's Episcopal Church, Palm Sunday, Easter Sunday, like you've done for years.
Right. We have the pictures, the large pictures of aborted babies there to make them have to deal with the fact that they kill children.
Right. And so the New York Times, they have a problem with integrity and honesty lately.
Yes.
And they're taking a real rap for their reporters creating stories that are not true.
And they fired Jason Blair. because Jason he made Blair. Up his own stories.
So this Keith Swain from the Denver Post, we were calling him Keith Blair or Jason Swain.
Yeah. And on the show.
Yeah, we did a on show the show on. Because he did a column saying that he was there when right. you guys protested.
Yes. Eyewitness report.
And it turns out he was not there.
He wasn't even there.
And the accusations he made in his column against you guys were lies.
Complete lies.
I remember them. You remember the accusations?
Yeah. One, he said we were holding large signs depicting homosexual men having sex. Pornographic signs.
Which is so disgusting.
Yes.
For one, it would be a sin to do that.
Yes.
Yeah, pornography in the streets. It's so despicable. But he was thinking of some other crazy protest.
Yes.
And he was saying you guys did that other thing.
Yeah.
Which he just lied. He made it up.
He made it up because he wasn't even there.
No, and there were other things he said. Remember he said they had to restrain him?
Oh, he said he was so angry because of us holding these signs and shoving them in the faces of their children.
Yeah, right. Like we would ever do that, which is a lie.
He said he had to be restrained. He also said, but cooler heads prevailed.
And he was restrained from coming over and, beating you up? Maybe he's going to beat Joe Scott up.
Yeah.
Whatever he was going to do.
He'd have to climb on the car.
Yeah, right. So Mike Norton, who's the attorney we just mentioned earlier.
Right.
He's representing Nikki suing this Mayfair abortion clinic.
That's right.
In Aurora, Colorado. Well, he sent off a letter to the Denver Post documenting the lies in the column.
Right.
And there were many. And here's another Jason Blair, only he works at the Denver Post.
Yes.
And
we sent the Denver Post. You did. You sent the show that we did.
That's right.
On it so they could listen to it.
And they fired him.
But do you remember a couple of days before we found out he was fired for sure?
Right.
Someone anonymously called you from the Denver Post?
Yes.
You remember that?
You know, I had forgotten that. Refresh my memory. It's coming back.
Someone anonymously called you from deep within the bowels of the Denver Post and told you that Keith Swain had been fired.
That's absolutely
right.
Would not
tell you who he was.
And then we signed up. He has his own email list, mostly homosexuals who are interested in what he writes.
Right.
And so we went on anonymously and signed up for his list.
That was so funny.
And then he sent out his email saying why he got fired. And he said it was because of Focus on the Family
right.
and Bob and Yart Live right. and Denver Bible Church.
That's right. And that please help him find another job right to the Rocky so that he could get a job over there. So we wrote immediately.
We wrote to the Rocky Mountain News. Documenting that he just made this up, which is like a mortal sin for
a journalist
to, even though he's only a columnist,
right.
He's not allowed on their editorial pages to lie and tell his readers he was at a protest and here's what happened.
Right. Make a whole protest up.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So that was pretty neat. So that was Kevin Swain, homosexual columnist who got canned. You know, there was a talk show host at KOA Radio. Now that, east of the Mississippi, the radio stations start with W.
Mm-hmm.
West is K.
Right.
So KFFF in Iowa, KLT, Bob and Yart Live in Denver. KOA is the Rush Limbaugh affiliate in Denver.
Right.
Big station. And they had a Saturday guy who was so filthy, I won't even describe what he said about Jesus. It was as disgustingly filthy as you could imagine. So I called up. I called up immediately and said, I'm a producer of a national talk show, and I'd like to get a recording of this show, this hour, and play some of it on this show. And this talk show host, he said, oh, yeah, come on down. We'll give you the tape. So I went down, got the tape, and I did. I played it that Monday night on my show, but bleeped out
all the bad stuff.
Which was most of it. But he mentioned the Lord by name. It was so unbelievably vulgar. It was unbelievable. It's just startling. Even though we're used to all the filth, this was shocking. And so I went to the only one of the advertisers on KOA, the largest, and the owner is known to be Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Went to him and I went to a senator, just two of them. Played the tape for both of them. They called Lee Larson, general manager of KOA, and they fired the talk show host.
Good.
Fired.
That's
right
what
on the spot.
Happen.
He was done.
Wow.
And so Christians should realize that we don't have to only pray or only commiserate in church, but we could get involved in the culture war in a way that could really make a difference. Now, not everybody is going to go protest.
That's true.
Right?
Right.
Not everybody's going to go protest, and that's fine. Not everybody has to stand on the street at an abortion clinic and try to become friends with the moms and save their babies and lead the moms to the Lord.
Right.
A lot of Christians don't want to do that.
And they don't have to.
No, it's a lot of fun to do that.
Yeah.
And if there's nobody going to your abortion clinic in your town, in Des Moines, say, or wherever the local Planned Parenthood referral clinic is in Ames, Iowa, then you might want to start staking out that territory once a week.
That's right.
Check out what it's like, and you'll find that you'll meet Christians, other pro-lifers. You'll have fellowship. You'll have friends. It'll be fun. And then you'll lead some moms to the Lord over time.
And then you have a ministry.
And you have a ministry. And then you have these babies and all these baby showers and birthdays you get invited to.
That's true.
All the pictures you got of all these kids that have been saved. But not everyone needs to do that, but we all need to do something.
That's right. We all need to do one thing, just one thing if you're not doing anything. One thing.
God doesn't give us carte blanche to be apathetic and not care when innocent people are being killed in our community, if pornography is being sold in our community on the internet. We need to somehow be involved in the war between right and wrong.
That's right. If you love to be on the phone, use it wisely.
Yeah, use it wisely. Share with people. Go on the internet. Learn how do you show someone that they're wrong when they say, well, it's a woman's body, it's her right, it's her choice. In other words, we have to be educated. We got to learn.
Uh-huh.
And also there's donating. People could donate to pro-life organizations. I'll name one just so people don't think we're trying to get money here.
Okay.
Lifecommercials.com.
That's a great ministry.
Yeah,
you can go right on that website and see the commercials too.
Yeah, my mother runs it.
She doesn't.
I'm only kidding. I just said that for somebody out there, a liberal thinking. He probably wants that money. Lifecommercials.com is run by Steve Curtis, former chairman of the state Republican Party in Colorado.
Yeah. And he does a wonderful job.
Yeah.
Really, go look at the commercials.
Fabulous commercials they produce, and they get them aired in markets around the country. So you can go to lifecommercials.com and watch a commercial or two and make a donation, $5, $10, $50.
Get those commercials out to the general public.
$1,000, whatever you can afford.
It's expensive.
Yeah. But then, of course, here at Bob and Yurt Live, we always need your financial support. And one way of doing that is to get our catalog or just go on our website to KGOV.com, and you could look at all the Bible study albums we have. Really fun. The plot and overview of the whole Bible. The tree.
What? I love the tree.
The tree is so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
What really happened at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? That is one cool Bible study.
Yeah, it is.
It'll floor you. You got to wear your seatbelt if you listen to that. And we have just the most wonderful Bible studies of the books in the Bible, like Ruth and Deuteronomy and 1 Samuel. We go through the whole book of Revelation, the book of Romans, which is extraordinary, and the Gospel of John and Galatians. Wow, what a study that is. But I would start with the plot and the tree, the overview of the whole Bible and the tree, what really happened.
The plot first.
The plot first, because that's the story of the whole Bible.
Right.
Then the tree.
Right.
What really happened at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we've got wonderful videos that people would just love. And some people subscribe and they get a Bible study album once a month or a video once a month or the sermons once a month.
It's great.
So, Joe, thank you so much for joining us.
It was a pleasure to be here, Bob.
All right. And kgov.com, that's the website, kgov.com, or call us at 800-8-NYART. This is Bob and Yurt reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.